Vietnam rises again. It has been over 30 years since the end of the Vietnam War, and yet it arises, like a phoenix, from the ashes of fiery memory to become the defining issue in who shall rule the American Empire. Lost in the sauce, however, is the supposed lessons of the war, which are as various and often conflicted as those who claim to be students. At the heart of the supposed controversy, the central question is conveniently ignored. Did the U.S. commit war crimes during the war? While many people have been recently made aware of the congressional testimony of a young John Kerry in April 1971, perhaps many fewer have ever heard the words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who, in his sermon at New York's Riverside Church on April 4th, 1967, proclaimed, "We have destroyed their two most cherished institutions, the family and the village. We have destroyed their land and their crops. We have corrupted their women and children and killed their men," he said. Does that sound like war crimes? The U.S. war machine laid waste to the people and lands of Vietnam, killing at least 2 million men, women, and children. 2 million. Does that constitute a war crime? Today, over a quarter of a century after the carnage of war, areas of the countryside, which were lashed with the chemical Agent Orange, grow, if at all, white grass, a grim marker of the ecological and indeed genetic damage and poisoning done in the name of bringing democracy to the people of Vietnam. Does that constitute a war crime? Much has been said and written about the claim that U.S. soldiers raped Vietnamese women during the war. No less a scholar activist than Angela Davis has written how war and rape intersected in the villages of Vietnam, writing, "Because it was drummed into the heads of U.S. soldiers that they were confronting an inferior race, they could be made to believe that raping Vietnamese women was a necessary soldierly duty. They could even be instructed to search the women with their penises. It was the unwritten policy of the U.S. military command to systematically encourage rape, for it was an extremely effective weapon of mass terrorism." That quote is from the Angela Y. Davis Reader, edited by George James and published in 1998. Does that sound like a war crime? On January 27, 1973, the United States delegation in Paris signed the Agreement on Ending the War and Restoring Peace in Vietnam with delegates from Vietnam. A few days later, U.S. President Richard Nixon sent a message to Vietnam's prime minister stipulating two main points. A, the U.S. would contribute to North Vietnam's post-war reconstruction, and B, the amount of U.S. contribution to that reconstruction would be in the range of a grant of $3.25 billion over 5 years. It's been over 31 years since that diplomatic letter was sent, and Vietnam hasn't seen a nickel in post-war reconstruction aid. However, incredibly, Vietnam has been paying to the U.S. since 1997 around $145 million in debts made by the defeated South Vietnamese government for American food and infrastructure aid rendered during the war. Shouldn't that be a crime? After the first Gulf War, then-President George H.W. Bush proclaimed, "By God, we've kicked the Vietnam syndrome once and for all." Over 31 years after the signing of peace treaties, and still, if the presidential elections are any indication, the war rages on. Both major presidential candidates are locked in the fog of words over that war. Did the U.S. commit war crimes? It is a telling reflection of U.S. hubris that we can even ask that question, much less debate it. Over 2 million Vietnamese were killed, and an uncounted additional other Indo-Chinese, Laotians, Cambodians, and we ask, who is fit to rule the empire? For Free Speech Radio News, from Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.